Yeah, you're cutting in and out. Maybe someone else will be able to hear you better. I'm coming through the echo link, but you're cutting in and out on my end. So I'll take a standby and let someone else maybe pick you up who's on the who's over the air. I'll be on the standby here. This K0SJG.
Okay, maybe this is a little better. I turned the antenna. Any better now? Go ahead.
Ah, that's much better. Okay, yeah. First name here is Sonny, Sierra Oscar, November, November Yankee. I'm coming through the Echo Link in the Bronx in New York. Go ahead.
Okay, Sonny, if you're in the Bronx, I thought you were something. DXY, Sonny. My name is Joel, J-O-E-L, and I'm northwest of you. I'm in Rockland County, New York, up the Hudson River, past Sing Sing.
Oh, roger that. All right, well, you're coming in beautiful. Are you base or mobile?
Oh, I'm fixed in my house, but my beam is very high up, and the antennas are long, not long boom, but it's got to be pretty much in the direction. I always forget the direction. Has to do with the height of the tower and where it is. Now, I'm sitting at home with 120 watts.
All right, that's great. Okay, well, you're sounding great here. Like I said, name here is Sonny. I'm here in New York temporarily. Been here for a couple of months, just waiting to see what happens on my disability case, and then I'll be heading back out west. I'm originally from Wichita, Kansas. I'm originally from New York, but I moved out there 8 years ago, and I had no choice but to come back here for a little bit, just waiting on a case to go through, and then I can head back out west. But it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm on the Echo Link here because I'm inside. I have an HT here, but I have a lot of trouble hitting it with the HT even when I'm outside from here. A little Bolfeg radio I brought with me, so unfortunately I don't have much power here. So the only way I can really operate this repeater is through the Echo Link. Back to you.
Okay, Sonny. Well, I'm sorry we can't make you feel more at home and have more tornadoes for you, Sonny.
Yeah, I was just telling that to the other gentleman I was talking to. Yeah, the weather there, it gets pretty bad in the springtime. Yeah, it's the hail is worse than the tornadoes, I would say. I haven't seen a tornado. I was there 8 years, and I've been through many watches and warnings, and most of the storm chasers out there use the 2-meter band for the amateur radio storm chasers. They have repeaters there that they operate during watches and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun listening to them, but when it's going on, it's not very fun being out there because, like I said, the baseball-sized hail that comes down in softball, it just destroys your car. Getting hit by a tornado is like one in a million. I mean, so many people hear about it, and there's so many that come down at once, but it's almost like getting struck by lightning, really. You know, when it does come, it destroys everything, yes, but like I said, getting hit by one is like pretty much getting hit by lightning, you know what I mean? It's that rare. But it is pretty scary while it's going on. The sky gets really dark, and the hail comes down, the wind starts, then it gets calm, and then it gets windy again, and then you're looking up, and the clouds are going in circles, and then you're just scared, wondering if it's going to come down on you or when it's going to come down. That's the whole thing with that. And that usually happens between May and July. Those are the months that that are a tornado active out there. Over.
ABC Radio listening.
My friend lives in Oklahoma. The Broken Arrow, Broken Bow, whatever. And I said to him, it was a nice little, you have a storage area out there. He said, I'll show you. I put a storage area. It was just a weird-shaped door into a shelter. Forced to have the alarm go off when I was there, and the sirens go off. Something comes in. All right, that was interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, you basically, when that's going on, you got to get either in the center of your house or in the basement and hide, basically. The people that live in Wichita, while this is all going on, they're so used to it over there that they continue to go about their businesses. If it's not hailing too bad, people are still, like, walking around like nothing, while I got my tail between my legs and I'm hiding in the house. You know, when people are born and raised there, they're used to it. It's like nothing to them, you know. I have another station come in, so I'm going to take a standby and let the repeater roll. It's a pleasure meeting you and everyone else here. And I'll be on the side monitoring. This is Kilo Zero Sierra Juliet Golf.
Bravo 2, Charlie Bravo Delta, radio check.
I kind of need to call a little slower. The radio check, there's a little noise, but the audio sounds good. Can you call slower? Who was that mass man? At Heisenberg. Okay, with the old sign, K2QBZ.
Yeah, if the other gentleman's listening that I was talking to about the Zello, it's Inglewood Cliffs, New Jersey. That's where the open repeater is. I think I might have got the name wrong. If you're on the Zello app, you type in EMRS repeater, and then you'll look for Inglewood Cliffs, New Jersey, and that repeater is open. You can just click on that, and you'll have full access to that repeater without any authorization or anything. If you're still listening there, I think when I was talking to you previously, I got the location wrong, but it's right over the Hudson, and that repeater covers. I can hit it from here, from the Bronx, but just to let you know, I had the name wrong. I apologize. K0SJ. This is K0SJG signing off the Echo Link. Thank you for the use of the repeater. Have a great day, everyone.
N2MYW listening. K1AMR listening. This is KC2GZG. Out on frequency. I got a letter in the mail. I don't know how to get a hold of Richie. I got a problem over here that someone came into the house and I was on the radio. Well, anyway, I called the FCC and I called the FBI. I called several other people. So we got a major problem here. I'll talk to you later. Sorry for whoever put the emergency call out.
Okay, I'm not allowed to use this repeater, but if I got a call me, next to you.
You're breaking up very bad. I'll give you a call during the week.
Problems with the FCC, or something happened related to that, I can give you the right word places to go. So if you want me, give me a call on the cell. I can't talk on this repeater, they kick me off.
KC2LIM, you're not supposed to be talking on the repeater right now. This is another infraction. You just keep going.
An infraction. I'm a licensed tab, okay? So you ain't got infraction. Spell it out. I'm a licensed tab. Does not present his call letters. Over 60 years I hold these calls. Oh, buddy. Okay,
K6 DTZ
clear.
K1AMR listening.
KC2AMR. Current time is 3:38.
DT. I'm not using the but if someone needs some emergency help, I'm going to go on the USC. Contact right to Washington. WB2ZS.
KQKND.
Hey, Rich.
What's cooking? Not much at all, Steve. Just hanging in there, and yourself.
Well, I've been finding out that Starbucks is not as easy to find as you may think. Either they've closed or moved some of their locations. Apparently my nephew thinks I like it because he got me a couple of, I got a couple of Starbucks gift cards for the holidays, and I figured I might as well try to use them.
Yeah, I think they did have a turnaround, a downside, maybe 2 years ago or so, and as a result, I remember something about them closing locations. It's kind of crazy, but I guess they were also cut into a lot by Dunkin' Donuts, by 7-Eleven, and by McDonald's.
Yeah, and not only that, the coffee's better at the other place.
I've only had Starbucks a few times, and it was okay, and maybe some of their specialty coffees were okay, but it's, what is it, it's $5 or $6 versus $1.50 or $2?
Yeah, I'm only talking about the regular coffees. I really all I drink. Is extremely not too desirable, at least as far as I'm concerned. Apparently, there are other people who like it, but, you know, I mean, I thought their big things were, like you said, the specialty stuff.
Yeah, I would say so, and, you know, take a cup of coffee and give it a special name like coffee, I don't know, coffee latte con coffee or something like that. Everybody says, wow, you know, that's cool, but really it's a cup of coffee. Anyway, yeah, it's kind of strange. I don't think, I'm trying to think, I don't even know if there's one in Plainview, unless it's up by the ShopRite on Woodbury Road in one of those shopping centers there, but certainly none down here that I know of.
Yeah, I think there was one on South Oyster Bay Road, so it's got to be around there somewhere, but... No.
Yeah, I'm thinking, trying to think where it might have been. I don't think it's in the one where Trader Joe's is, so maybe it's across the street. Anyway, I think that is a fact. I think they had a financial downturn a couple of years ago, and they closed some of their shops. So what are you up to this afternoon now?
I'm just heading home. Got most of the stuff I needed to do done. Dropped off what I needed to drop off to Eric. He now has a rather significant paperweight, which he may be able to convert to a useful power amplifier.
I did hear him calling you earlier after you had said that you'd call him, but I take it the two of you did hook up there, so that's a good thing. This is KJKNB.
Yes, the telephone works. I'm sorry, who was that?
82AKX. Richie, I just sent you the audio file.
All right, thanks, Sean. I will play it. And it's just, you know, what are you going to do? You can't legislate stupidity. Anyway, thanks, Sean. All right, so... You're on your way home, stopping for dinner, or no?
No, it's a little bit early for that, don't you think?
Not for Sunday. Sunday dinner could be anywhere from 2 o'clock in the afternoon till 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, no, I'm usually... I'm usually when it gets dark.
Well, so there you go. Wintertime, you're eating at 5 o'clock. Summertime, you're eating at 9 o'clock.
There you go.
Yep. Looks like it was a nice day. I was out a couple of minutes ago with the dog. It's actually pretty comfortable. I mean, it's on the cool side, but not extremely cold.
And, man, you can't complain. End of January, we've had this weather so far. Not bad at all.
Nope, seems to be fairly good. And it's sunny out. Although there's supposed to be a couple of flurries, I think, tomorrow night. The average seems to be about 25 inches, and we're up to 10 so far.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if we make the 25, probably not. You know, I have been trying for the last hour and a half, maybe. I'm doing some work in the basement, now I'm back up in the shack. Just to find something on television that I can watch. And it's one of those days where there's nothing. I just keep going through it. I mean, there's sports on there, whatever. But basically nothing that I can even watch or even understand. So I just keep flipping through them. I don't know. Crazy day.
Yeah. Well, I'm just taking a look. I'm taking a look. There's this series called Timeless, which I just started looking at. Been recording it now for a bunch of weeks and haven't had time, and I just was able to sit down last night and take a look to see what happened. Interesting. Depending on which company you have as a service provider, they have some of them have a lot of free on-demand stuff.
Yeah, you know, I've yet to ever do that, but I do think what happens is when I'm having trouble finding something, I think it's as much my fault as anything. Maybe a level of patience or, yeah, I don't even know. But it's just you start watching something, and it's either a silly movie or a sport. I mean, lots of basketball. The guys that are into that is crazy. I'm not. But there are times when I actually can go through the whole. Whatever, I'm on Optimum, so whatever it is, a couple hundred channels, and find absolutely nothing of any value.
Yeah, well, you gotta know what you want to watch and then look for the on-demand stuff. I know, well, I'm using Fios, and I, you know, I go over to the History Channel when I get a little bored, but, I thumb through on-demand from time to time. And these regular broadcast companies leave stuff available.
Yeah, well, actually, you know things are bad when I'm watching QVC.
Might as well watch Shark Tank.
I do watch that. What I find that's interesting there, now, you may not always agree with them, and there are times when they pass on something that does become very successful. But, you know, your instant reaction is, well, that really sounds like a great idea. And then they begin to analyze it, and you understand why they feel it's not a good investment. And I mean, I do understand that. That's one of the reasons why I like to watch Judge Judy. She does explain the law in her own very strange way. Sometimes you think something is so obvious, and she explains why it's not obvious.
Oh, that much I know. For what's going on today? Oh, I was listening to something when I went out last night on CBS. They apparently have a weekly show, business show, and they were discussing social media and business.
Social media and business. Sounds like a question for Johnny Carson.
Oh, no, I mean, it made perfect sense. They said, you know, if you're looking for a, you know, to interview for a job, you've got to be aware that what you put on social media is going to be scrutinized. And it could, depending on what's there, it could be detrimental.
Oh, yeah, they've been saying that. And also the fact that just about anything that you ever put on the Internet, even though it may have been deleted at some point or another, it's still out there. It's on some server somewhere. But look at the Secret Service agents out where was in Colorado, that posted that, you know, she would not take a bullet for the president. She'd rather go to jail than support him. And not only is she on paid administrative leave right now, but there's what's called the Hatch Act, where public employers cannot, I guess, actively participate in political or federal employees. Maybe cannot actively participate in political action. And, you know, it may have just been a joke to her, but look at the ramifications.
I understand that. And on the other side of the coin, they started discussing it, and they started getting, you know, asking why people do what they do, and talking about people being narcissists. And they started going through the definition and, you know, description of what it is. I'm going, boy, that sounds real familiar.
Yeah. Well, that you'll always know somebody who fits that bill. But what does happen, I think, first of all, even though you're going out across the internet, I think for some people, they still feel there's almost an anonymity on the internet, on Facebook and things like that. Yes, it's going out there, but, you know, it's only little old me and I'm doing it and nobody's ever going to really take note of it. So I do think that's one of the problems. But, again, people just lay out things. I'm not sure on Facebook what the specific thing was called, but I was getting somebody's post every single day, and it was crazy. It was, oh, I'm getting up in the morning, and, oh, my God, my pajamas were all wrinkled. I had a tough day, you know. It was, like, so crazy, and it was going through the whole day, and I finally found a privacy setting or something that allowed me to not do that. But it was crazy. Every day I'm getting up and leading their life, hard enough leading my life.
Yeah, I understand. Listen, let me get out of the car for a minute. I'm going to need your telephone call. I'll be right back. I'll talk to you in a few minutes. WB2DSC.
Hi, Steve. KTK and me.
K1AMR listening.
This is K2KNB.
Hi, Richard. How are you doing? This is Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan. I'm doing fine. How about yourself? I haven't spoken to you in a long time.
Yeah, but I'm a little less. I've been really busy at work. You know, the holiday break is very much over, so... But just been playing around that HF a little bit when I can, and following the repeater when I can as well. Looking forward to the net tonight.
How have you been doing with your antennas?
Well, I'd say I'm in the planning phase, right? I'm sort of mapping out what I want to do in terms of an outside antenna, and kicking around a few different options, one of which would be some form of, I could potentially make it myself, sort of a folded or a fan dipole. And the other would be a buy, like the Alpha Delta DFCC, which is a similar sort of concept. But I'm doing some yard measurements and kind of seeing where I could, you know, string it from in between.
I think I mentioned to you that Bob W2SR, I think he either found or designed himself, I'm not sure. It's basically a long wire. I think it runs around 31 feet straight up from a 9-to-1 ballon, I think. Ballon gets grounded on one side, and we had great success with that when we did our project at the Cradle of Aviation. It's a very inexpensive vertical antenna.
So it's a 31-foot, roughly, vertical long wire with a 9-to-1 ballon. That's interesting. So it's just an NFAD long wire that's set up vertically. I think OSR, I think he lives kind of near my location, so maybe I ought to see if he's on at some point and ask him about that and how it works. K1AMR.
Yeah, he's in Glen Cove, so it's not too far from you. But when we do the Cradle of Aviation the last couple of years, well, we've been doing it about 4 or 5 years now, I think, maybe even more. We've been using an inverted V, and it reflects against the building, and the building faces south, so we've had great propagation to the south. We've worked all of Florida, that kind of stuff. But last year we ran that vertical, and it did a really nice job. And we were working Europe and the West Coast and Canada and I think South America also. So, interesting. And, you know, obviously it doesn't take up a lot of space. Just find a place to get something up in the air, just a wire 31 feet up.
Interesting. Let's check that out. Yeah. It was a bit of an eye-opener today. My dad just got his license back and got his rig set up. And so I was able to be on the phone with him and kind of monitor the same frequencies on two different systems. And there's a lot I'm missing reception-wise here, I think both because my location is electrically noisy. He's in Rhode Island, kind of in a rural area, and because my antenna system is a bit compromised. So he's also using an ICOM 7300, which is a better and more selective receiver. So it was a bit interesting to listen to kind of, you know, what you're missing.
Well, the other thing is, what band did you work them on? I'm going to say that for the most part, if you want the easiest communication, I think usually for Rhode Island, it's going to be on 80 meters, 75 phones.
Yeah, no, it didn't work at all. He wasn't transmitting. I'm talking about listening to the same frequencies on two different rigs in two different locations, where because you're on the phone at the same time, you can easily hear, you know, how much stronger the signal is, frankly, on the other machine.
Oh, I understand, but I'm not sure that that's a fair comparison. There's so many variables, depending on where you're located, whether you're at, I think you're below the terminal moraine, so you're not the highest up. You might have a little more height to his. Water proximity, things like that. So I understand what you're saying as far as the test. I'm not sure it's a fair comparison.
Yeah, no, it is interesting. I mean, it was pretty striking, like across 40 meters, that there were probably 50% of the time he would have a perfectly copyable signal on a frequency where I could hear nothing but noise. I think that also may have to do with nulls and lobes in my antenna, because it's an off-center-fed dipole, and if you look at the radiation charts, you know, at the higher multiples, you have a radiation pattern that is increasingly kind of odd.
This is Keith Candy. Now, what class of license does your dad have? Technician or above that?
General.
And does he have more room for an antenna system than you do?
Oh, yes, easily, yeah. I mean, he hasn't really built out yet, but he's got like 5 acres. He could pretty much put up for whatever he wanted to or needed to.
Well, you know what I'm going to suggest is that you set up a remote station to his location. By today's standards, it's relatively simple. It's an IP address, something to convert the sound and the controls, but they make systems. You put a rig in his house and go to it. Have fun.
Yeah, you know, I guess I could do that. I think I want to build my station where I live, though. So, you know, looking at what my outside better antenna options are, and I think in the spring we'll start to get some wire up in the air. K1AMR.
Well, give it a shot. But, you know, if he's got 5 acres and the capability of putting up a substantial tower, I don't know how his... you know, what his restrictions are, if any. But, you know, make the investment. Put up a nice tower and set up a nice remote station and, you know, the world will be yours at that point. Where is he in Rhode Island?
South County, the southern part of the state, sort of about maybe 10 miles inland. Yeah, that's fine, but it just doesn't feel like it's not really what I'm in. Using IP to get to a different location is not really what I want to do. But it'll be interesting to be able to play with his equipment at some point when I'm up there. And I also think some of it is just receiver selectivity. 7300 is a very, very, very good unit. And I'm using a 718, which is okay, but it's just a little bit rougher around the edges on receives.
Yeah, it's more of an entry-level rig, but we do use a 718 when we do some of our... Well, you know, the point is, Jonathan, if you're going to have a rig control, if you're going to have DX spotting hitting your transceiver at some point, what difference does it make if your transceiver is at your house or in Rhode Island? There's a lot of people that would give their eye teeth to have that capability. But you'll see. You know, if you find yourself frustrated because you're not getting good antenna up there and no chance of doing it, you know, maybe you'll change around your thinking. But was your father able to, did he have to take the test again, or he was able to reinstate his previous license?
Well, he had to take element two, but he was able to basically waive element four by showing proof of prior licensing.
Okay. Well, that's good, and congratulations to him. So, now you guys, well, you'll work it out. I mean, it'd be cute for you to be able to get some kind of a sked, and really propagation will be the main thing to watch out for. But I would think you got a shot at 80 meters. Or at least give it a shot and see. Well, that's first of all assuming that you have 80-meter capability and that your dad has 80-meter capabilities. I guess that's a primary function. This is K2KNB.
Interesting, yeah. In any event, I've got to run here. I may be on a bit later, and I'll be on tonight for the TechNet. But great having the chance to chat. And I want to say 73s, and I'll be clear on your final. K1AMR is clear.
Jonathan, very good. Have a nice evening, and we'll catch you again. K1MAR, K2KNB, 73, Jonathan.
N2ND.
Tonight at 8 o'clock, WQVL repeater system.
QBV, to Queens, basically. Okay, QBV, listening to me.
tonight at 8 o'clock. Welcome to the WQVL repeater.
KD2KNH, KD2KNI. One more time, KD2KNH, KD2KNI. KD2KNI, clear.
N2YYC, KGKND, how are you, Howard?
N2YYC, good evening. How are you, Rich? Doing some traveling.
I'm doing fine. Notice that you're coming in from Echolink. Where are you now?
I'm down in Florida. How's things up in New York?
It's been on the cool side, but not on the, you know, not cold, not particularly cold. I think they said we might get some snow flurries this evening. I don't think they're expecting much. Where are you down in Florida?
I'm in Titusville. It's kind of rainy and overcast today. But it was nice earlier in the week. It was further south.
That's funny. I think I spoke to a ham last week. I believe he was coming up from with Echolink. I think it wasn't IROP. I think it was Echolink, and he was in Titusville.
Okay. Was he a local or was he just visiting?
No, I think he was a resident of the area. I think he was mentioning that he'd seen a couple of the, maybe all of the space shuttle launches. Anyway, do you have a home down there or just a, you're staying at a hotel or motel?
No, I'm staying in a hotel here for a couple of days on vacation.
Okay, I missed the very last part of what you said. You said on business, is that correct?
Negative, I'm on vacation, vacation.
All right, very good. And what made you choose Titusville?
There was something going on here that came down for other hobby I'm involved with. Been here before, not all that much to do. You can go see cars at the Space Center.
Yeah, that's again one of the things that the guy had mentioned. It's a little bit of a trip over to Disney or Universal. From there, I don't know how far it is, maybe an hour or so. But all right, that's fine. When are you supposed to be back?
Heading home tomorrow. The leaving out of Orlando at the closest airport.
Okay, sounds good. Hope you have a safe trip back, and that nothing jams you up at the airport. Going or coming.
All right. Well, good talk to you, and catch you when I get back. 73N2YY3.
All right, Howard. Have a good safe trip, a good flight back, And I'll talk to you when you get back. This is K2KMB, grabbing a landline.
Tonight at 8 o'clock, this is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
Hey, beer.
Tonight at 8 o'clock, W2VL Repeater System. Net time.
Good evening, you guys. I'm K2, Romeo, India Whiskey. My name is Dick. At this time, we run the TechNet. Every Sunday night, as we've done for the last 32 years. This will be TechNet number 1637. You'll also be hearing a space report number 237. The main purpose of the TechNet is education. The curious amateurs gather at this time, literally teach each other how their equipment works, how to make it work better, how to do troubleshooting. And there's an awful lot to learn about the wireless technology, how the antennas really work, and transmission lines, and transmitters, and receivers, and propagation. And there's 26 or 27 different kinds of ham radio. 2 meter FM repeater ham radio, which you're listening to right now, is just one of the 26 or so kinds. And arguably, this is one of the most educational hobbies we know of. And if you're a little disappointed with your exposure to it, try one of the other 25 times, other 25 kinds of ham radio before you give up the hobby. Let me drop. Over the years, we've received a significant number of letters from people who have found the technical net on their scanner, listened to what's going on, and say, hey, these guys on ham radio seem to be having a lot of fun doing something that's very educational. They decided to go out and study the license manuals, in some cases the Morse code, and went and got their license. And so we hear about them, those people, from time to time. The very loose schedule that we have on the TechNet is that in the beginning we take check-ins from people who do have a question or a comment. You need not check in just because you're listening. After 34 and a half years, We have reason to believe somebody is listening. Any job? That doesn't have to be proven anymore, so people check in, give me their name, their call letters, and the word yes, meaning they do have a question or a comment for the net. A little bit further downrange, we'll be having the space report, in which WS2N will have quite a bit to say to us tonight because of some new information he's received. I've also found an interesting article in the January issue of Microwaves and RF magazine, which has a striking piece of information about over-the-air television, which I'll be announcing a little bit later on. At this time, I'm going to take check-in, so if you do have a question or a comment, please give me your call letters and your name at this time. K2RAW listening.
And to we are with a request that
Yankee Whiskey, the name here is Joe, and yes, this is KC2, Queen Yankee Whiskey, the name here is Joe, and
S-A-Y, Doug, yes.
N-T-O with a request.
Okay, we've got Rich, Joe R-Y-Y, Joe Q-Y-W, and Doug S-A-Y. Did I miss anyone? Give me your call letters and name right now. K-2-R-A-W listening.
W-S-2-N, Paul with the space report. Thanks for that information. Well, maybe we can go over some of that later. Send back to you, Dick. Very, very interesting. Back to you, Dick.
Glad to hear that, Paul. So, one last call. Anyone else to check in because you do have a question or a comment for the TechNet? Give me your call letters and your name right now. Okay, we've got more than enough to get started. Rich, you're first. N2EO, go right ahead. K2LIW listening.
Okay, Dick, and we all say good evening to everybody. Dick, I'm getting back involved with TMR, which is TMR is a digital mode. It's a substitute of Motorola Moto Turbo. I bought a radio. It's called a CF800 by Kinect Systems. And it does analog and DMR. I need what's called a code plug. The code plug varies depending on the make, model, or radio. I'd like to know if there's anybody out there with this radio that can email me as an attachment to code plug, and I'll change it to my own DMR number and, you know, to suit me. Got it, Dick.
Okay. I've got a possible suggestion on this, but let me first find out, is there anyone that can help Rich with that code plug for his DMR radio? Give me your call letters right now.
I could just program the thing.
Okay, Eric, give us some more words as to what Rich should do.
Well, the radio comes with a program. You come on, you plug it into the radio, and it starts filling in the blanks.
Eric, you have reason to believe that the particular radio he bought, CS800, do you believe it has a instruction manual that's complete enough that Eric, that Rich should be able to do that, or do you think some extra help might be required? KE2EJ, K2RIW, and the TechNet.
No, actually, that doesn't come with an instruction manual per se. It has help file. But nobody helped me, you know. You just got to know your peers and your talk groups and that stuff, and wasn't it.
Okay, possibly you've got a route to a solution. And maybe yes, maybe no. Rich, if you get on this repeater, or let me think about that now, you'd have to be on the 450 repeater. If you get on the 450 repeater at around 7:30 in the morning, and around 4 in the afternoon. During those two times, you'll hear KC2ISK, Kilo Charlie 2, Yankee Sierra Kilowatt. A number of people have gone to J and gotten a code plug for their DMR radio. So at those times, if you hook up with him, I think there's a chance you'll get a solution. N2EO, K2RIW in the TechNet.
Okay, Dick, I'll do that. Thank you very much for the heads up. As far as what Eric said, I was in DMR called Moto Turbo many years ago, but I understand from Jerry WB2ZEX, it's all changed to programming. So I gotta re-familiarize with it. I can definitely do it. It's just gonna take time. I thought about an existing code plug. I could work with it. Thank you, Dick N2EO.
Tango Golf Whiskey.
Okay, somebody said Tango Golf Whiskey. Give us a full call and your name, and then proceed with your information.
Name is Les, K2TGW, and try the Limelock webpage under DMR. You may just find exactly what you're looking for.
Sounds good, Les. Rich, need any fill on that?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Let me just make a correction to Rich there. Moto Turbo is a derivative of DMR. DMR came first. It was developed in Europe. Motorola decided to take it and modify it a little bit. So, the other way around, Rich.
I thank you, Eric, for the correction.
The next person who signed in was Joe, WB2RYY. And go right ahead, Joe, K2RIW.
Thought I heard you say WB2RYY. I wasn't sure, but I'm WB2RYY. Anyway, the question is this. Here's a very simple formula I've come up. I've seen used in either automatic calculations or so forth. It's very simple. It's just like where it comes from. Basically, it's called 2D. You take the square root of that. And what this does is give you an approximate line of sight to your radio horizon. Have any idea where that came from? 2D. And the square root of that. D is in feet. And your answer is in miles.
I have often seen that formula in the reference data for radio engineers. In the beginning, it was called the ITT Handbook. Later on, it had other names, but and there's at least four or five editions of the reference data for radio engineers. I have seen that formula in there. It is an approximation, but it's an extremely good approximation. It's close enough for the you and my purposes, if you know what I mean. So, that's where an awful lot of people got it from. And if you go through the mathematics, you'll find out that it's quite good. It really takes spherical trigonometry to really figure out with Earth curvature how high your antenna has to be in order to have line of sight to how many miles. But that formula does a very good job. Dragged your feet a little bit as I pass it back to you, Joe, to the A2RYY. And it was your... It was your relative that had the B in there that confused, that I keep remembering. The B2RYY. K2RIW. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, Radio Engineer's Handbook. So that's where it came from. That's where it came from. I've seen it in a couple of different places. I often wondered about that, how the formula, as simple as it actually is, takes into account the Earth's curvature, which supposedly is the horizon is like normally 14 miles away of what you can see when you're standing up there with the curvature, any more than 14 miles or something like that. Okay, very good, Dick.
Yeah, it's an approximation. There's a lot of other variables involved. If you're standing in front of a mountain, then the formula is going to break down quite a bit. Or if you're standing in a valley, the formula is going to break down. But it's an extremely good approximation. And lots of people have used it. They've got lots of confirmation that it really does work. And the approximation starts breaking down at very high altitudes. if you started using it for a spacecraft at the medium altitude or high altitude spacecraft, the formula would be breaking down on you. In the case of using it for geosynchronous satellites, the geosynchronous satellite allows you to see almost the whole hemisphere of the Earth. And I'm going to try plugging in that formula for a geosynchronous satellite, 22,300 miles up above the surface of the Earth. And I'm pretty sure the formula is not going to work there. But for people using reasonable-sized towers and mountains, the formula works rather well. A couple of percent of error, but that's good enough. And with any further comments on this particular subject, give me a call with us right now. K2RIW, the TechNet. Okay, Joe is next. KC2QIW. What would you like to discuss tonight, Joe? K2RIW and the TechNet.
Thank you, Dick. Okay. My question is, I sent out my radio to K2 USA for warranty repair. And my quick question to you, Dick, is, okay, they received it on January the 27th. That's when they received it. I checked the tracking number, and that's how I know when they received the radio. So, okay, I don't know if this is like a trick question, but okay, my question to you is, my warranty will end this coming up Friday, February the 3rd. My warranty will be over this Friday. So, my question to you is, do they go by when they scan it, or do they go by when they take the radio out of the box? So, I'm thinking if they take the radio out of the box after the February the 3rd, the warranty will be over. So, my quick question to you is, I guess, do they go by, when FedEx delivered back in January 27th? That was like last week, Friday. All right, back to you, Dick.
Joe, let me ask you this question first. Before you mailed them your Yaesu radio, did you have any kind of internet, telephone, whatever? Did you have any kind of communication with Yaesu telling them that you were about to send in a radio for a warranty repair? Had you had any prior communication before you mailed it? Over to you, Joe, K2RIW.
Now you're making me nervous. Making me nervous, buddy. I sent them an email a couple of weeks ago. The reason why I didn't send it out like a couple of weeks ago because maybe like a month ago I sent them an email. So to answer your question, yes, I did. The reason why I didn't want to send it out like a month ago because I wanted to wait for all the holidays, all the holidays to calm down. So FedEx or whatever UPS, not sending with FedEx, so it won't be so busy,
The reason I asked that question is that the warranty repair, if I was an attorney, I would try to fight for the following, that the warranty repair date of whether or not it's under warranty is a function of when you experienced the failure and when you informed Yaesu that you experienced the failure. So Yaesu has, by way of your internet communication, they have written record as to the date at which you informed them that you had a repair that you believe is under the warranty period. And that was like a couple of weeks ago. So when you mailed it, when they got it,